So as stated last week, we looked at Joseph. The week before, we looked at Zach and Liz. This week, we're going to spend some time with Mary. Mary is pretty amazing to me when I sit and I ponder and I consider the importance of who she was, the importance of what she did, the importance of why she did it. See, I continue to find that our plans aren't necessarily God's plans. And the plans that make sense, that seem to be right, and perhaps make sense in the world, might not be God's plans. We think on these things and we think, well, you know, if I just do A, B, C, and D, if I just follow these prescribed directives, that's where I should be. And all of a sudden, God comes along and says, you know, I want you to go that way. It's interesting to consider. Let's look at the Gospel of Luke. If you've brought your Bible, perhaps you could turn to Luke chapter 1. We'll start at verse 26. See, we've gotten this far already as we've gotten to meet some of the other individuals within this story. I think we might find out, matter of fact, I'm certain we'll find out the answer to the question that was delivered in the song. She knew. She knew. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's who we've been calling Liz lately, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. I'm going to give you guys a heads up. The angel doesn't look anything like how parables portrays it. Not even close. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. We met Joseph last week. Joseph found himself in quite a quandary. Joseph was a descendant of David, as it reads here. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Wow. We read that, we consider that, we think on it. We've heard it over and over again. We've heard Linus speak it in Peanuts. We've heard preachers say it. We've read it over as we dig and desire and understand our scriptures. We've seen it in Christmas cards. That's big. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was a bit shaken. She was a bit taken aback by that. That was really something to be told. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God." I pray that I've found favor with God. I consider my day to day. I consider who I am. I consider my life, and I pray that somehow, in some way, I might find favor with God. Mary did. Mary did. And this favor was going to take Mary's life and just make it the smoothest, most clearest, relaxed path she could ever. All her financial woes would be resolved. She'd never be sick. Everything would be perfect. And oh no, wait. I don't know that God operates that way. She found favor with God. But Mary's world was about to rock. See, she was betrothed. She was engaged. She was engaged to a man she loved. They had began building this love. You know, it was set up by mom and dad, but the kids settled in. Joseph was a good guy. Solid, hardworking. From what we understand, had a business. You know, was respected in the community. Mary was in that same sense. They both were followers of God. They were faithful. And she hears, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Angel's not finished yet. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." These words all made sense to Mary. She'd heard these things. "And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary says, "How will this be? How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel just clears it up. Makes it real clear and straightforward. "Look, man, it's here it is." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." I'm sure Mary at this point is thinking, okay. She might have been. She had a good scriptural background. She may have been settling in to what the angel's telling her, but it's still rocking her world. And the angel goes on to clarify and to connect and to focus Mary with, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." Read that with me again. If you've got your scriptures open. "For no word from God will ever fail." You believe it? Mary did. Mary's world was about to be rocked. Her plans were about to change. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The angel shared good news with Mary. He said she was highly favored, that God had chosen her to be a part of his wonderful plans. The angel said that the Lord was with her. Now this is important. Mary most certainly needed to know that the Lord was with her. She needed to know that what was going to happen was part of God's plans. That's why Gabriel told Mary not to be afraid. Because Mary's life was about to be turned upside down forever. Things were going to change. And that, folks, for those of you that have experienced it, even in your lives, I'm certain that no one here has ever been pregnant with the Son of God. That I can say with undeniable certainty. But I'm certain that things in your life have changed, that things have been redirected, and you ask God. But God has a plan. And your life, your peace, your connection within this story connects to the child who became a man and died for each one of us. There is a connection in your lives to how to share that story, to how to spread that love and that grace. Mary's life was about to be turned upside down. Generally, change is hard. Positive changes, we usually welcome, right? That's good. Better job, new relationship, an improvement of some kind in our lives. Ed and Crystal are excited. They're going to New Mexico. It's a good thing. When someone passes away, that change we're not so keen on, are we? When the car breaks down in the middle of minus 19, we're not real keen on that change, are we? Getting used to the change. You know, I actually observed you guys coming in here this morning to this change. Some of you were honestly uncomfortable with this change. But some of you may actually find yourselves seated next to somebody you didn't have the opportunity to sit next to last week. Because last week you were able to find your chair. This week we hid it. Dan found his. Yeah, Dan Geist found his because it's labeled. But he doesn't tell anybody. You know, it's interesting how we deal with change. I deal with a lot of the same things. None of us are excused from this. You know, change shakes us. Getting married, for those of you that have, is wonderful. Really is. The world perceives it in not as good a perspective. But overall, I can say, for 32 years of marriage, it's been amazing for me. It's been absolutely amazing. I'm sure that my brother-in-law, Gary, wondered what his sister was bringing home. And at this time, probably still wonders. But he's put up with me for 32 years. Marriage, for me, from my experience, has been awesome. But it was a change. It was a change in my life. I have to give up half the bed. Actually, I got to give up about 3/4 because we got a puggle and it gets... I'm pushed off to the side. The two of them are cuddled and warm. Marriage causes change, you know? It's a welcome change, but it's still a change that takes some getting used to. Now picture Mary's changes. Not my wife Mary, the Virgin Mary. Picture Mary's changes. She was engaged to a good man, Joseph. They were going to be married. Back then, an engagement was practically as binding as a marriage. To end an engagement was the same as divorce. Here comes this angel, shows up, tells her she's going to have a baby. That would be stunning enough, but let's pause for a moment. Dan Geist, Deanna calls you tonight and says, I'm pregnant. Deanna? It's interesting how we all perceive that, isn't it? Isn't it? And in this society, it's almost sadly, it's a little more comfortable, isn't it? Then, not so much. Not so much. Even if the girls were teenagers back then and got married, as it was expected, you tell her she's pregnant out of wedlock, look out. It's not good. It's not good. She's not seen as a good girl. She's not seen as someone who did something they were supposed to do. She did something that everyone knows better of. Plug the children's ears. She was called a slut, a whore. She was no good. That's the mother of God. Change was hitting, and it was hitting hard. See, it was considered sinful. Mary was entering a whole new world by becoming pregnant. It was a change that she embraced well, but the angel still told her to not be afraid over it. Mary's plans for her life and her family were changed forever by the announcement that she would have a baby. as if that weren't enough, as if hearing the news that you were going to have a baby isn't life-changing enough, let's go ahead and throw in the fact that it was impossible for her. Let's go ahead and recognize the fact that she was a virgin. She'd never been with a man. We've heard it over and over again, but hear that. She was a virgin. She'd never been with a man. For those of you that understand that process, wow. For those of you that don't, we can share a conversation after service. I'll clear it up for you. She's having a baby out of wedlock with being impossibly pregnant. She's pregnant. On top of it all, we must not forget the main point of the story. The shock of being pregnant with the Son of God. With the Son of God. That's what this is about. This is about Jesus coming to earth. You see, Mary's plans weren't being changed just for the sake of change. It wasn't some whim or flight of fancy. Mary's plans were being changed because it was for the greater good. They were God's plans. Even if the changes were not going to be 100% pleasant, they were certainly good. Think of the Chronicles of Narnia. Anyone here read that? If you haven't, I would strongly consider it. If you're not a reader, get the book on CD. Get the audio book. It's a great read. But consider the king. The king, the lion Aslan. Okay, so just picture this lion that is a king. There's creatures here that are involved. For those of you that know the story, you get it. Is returning to the world, the fantasy world of Narnia. When he returns, he will set the world right. There's an old saying, wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again. But the question is he dangerous? Well, yes, he is. I mean, have you ever met a tame lion? He most certainly is not safe, but he's good. He's not safe, but he's good. I think that describes God's plans too. They're not always safe. They'll sometimes lead us into dangerous places. Missionaries go to unsafe places. Many of the early explorers were believers and they entered unsafe places. Many believers over the years have lost their lives because they were willing to follow their faith into unsafe places. Communist regimes, radical Muslim countries, extreme Hindu nations. If you think that following God's plans will always lead you to green pastures and beside still waters, you're in for a shock. Because God's plans are not always safe. But they're good. They're good. It's about the child. It's about the child. This all comes back to the center of the story. God's plans for Mary's life were good. They weren't comfortable. They were good. She was favored. The Lord was with her. She had found favor with God. Mary, did you know? Yes. Yes, Mary knew. Mary knew. You can see the excitement in Mary's voice as she sang her song. I'd like you to turn to Luke. Again, chapter 1, move down just a little bit to verse 46. And we'll go through 55. My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Mary knew. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. Mary knew. She knew it wasn't going to be easy, but she knew. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. A simple girl in a simple town, in love with an amazing God, became part of God's plans to completely redirect and change you, me, the world. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors. She knew God's plans, and she knew they were good. She was excited to be part of God's plans. She took the angel's words to heart when he said, "Don't be afraid." But realize, Mary was still a mom. Mary was still a mom who loved her boy dearly, spent time with him. We don't see a lot of that in Scripture. But Mary changed the bottom of the Savior of the world. Mary fed the Savior of the world. Mary cared for and watched over the Savior of the world. I'm sure that he perhaps stumbled and fell and skinned his knee, and Mary, you know, you moms understand it. And Mary had to deal with so much more. I want you guys to now take from the child and just take a few minutes, if you can bear with me. I'd like to show you a video. We're going to take a few minutes and walk with Mary through her experience that fulfilled why the child came.
Jesus, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. They don't know what they're saying. They don't even know. Listen to me. Listen to my voice. My son. My baby. Jesus. I remember when I heard your name for the first time. An angel told me your name. Angel. He said that you would do great things. He said. But the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Is this the great things that were foretold? Is this the kingdom that shall have no end? Breathe, Jesus, breathe. I know it hurts. I know. Forget about the pain. I wish I could take away your pain. remember when you were a child and you would go out and I would have to go out at night looking for you. And I would call out, Jesus, come inside, it's getting dark. And I would find you engrossed in some new object you found, an anthill or a frog. You had the look of such indescribable joy on your face, like you knew that frog, knew it intimately, and it's because you were seeing it for the first time in your eyes. Strange. That must have been for you. You were there when that frog was created. You see, for the first time, human eyes. To tell you a secret, I've kept this hidden in my heart for the last 33 years. When you were 8 days old, I took you to the temple. Prophet Simon saw you and knew immediately who you were. He said, For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and Lord, thy people Israel. And he looked at me and said, Great sword shall pierce through thine own heart also. Oh, my soul is bleeding right along with you. Breathe. Breathe, Jesus. Breathe. I don't want you to die. I want you to live. I want Stay with me. I want to hear your laughter. I want to hear you tell stories into the night. Oh, I want to hold you in my arms. Jesus, come inside. It's getting dark. It is time to come home.
I pray this morning that you would let the child who became a man, who affected the plans of Mary, who affected the plans of Joseph and Zach and Liz, that those plans that you have would be affected. And that you would realize what's been done for you. And for me, it's about the child. See him. Get to know him. Fall in love with the Savior. Let's pray. Father God, we submit to you. We thank you for all that's been done. We ask you to help us to recognize your plans and to follow them. We thank you over and over again for the child who became a man and gave his life for each one of us so that we might live. It's in your name we pray, and we thank you.